that are traveling the road of the ungodly. You see them headed down a road, and it's a road to destruction. And it's just a matter of time before they self-destruct. And our prayer for those who walk on that road should be a prayer of one, Lord, help them to see the right way to go. The Bible says that the God of this world have blinded the eyes of those that believe not. And so they need a revelation. They need an unveiling so that they might see the right road to walk. And how our hearts must be tugged at. How our hearts must be touched. How our hearts must be burdened when we see those who are walking the way of the ungodly.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Institute of Biblical Studies, author, and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. This is Sonia Hall, thanking you for joining us today as we continue in Psalms with the first half of Two Men, Two Ways, Two Destinies from Psalm chapter 1. So if you have your Bible, please open it to Psalm chapter 1 and let's join Dr. Glaze for the first half of Two Men, Two Ways, Two Destinies.
Bibles this morning to the first Psalm. The first Psalm. This is probably is my favorite Psalm, but anytime I sign a book, the verses that I put in there are Psalm 1, 1 through 3. And it talks about this blessed man. And so this is my favorite psalm. And these verses are my favorite verses in the Bible. Psalm 1, 1 through 3. And as I preach this message today, I just want to say two things. The first thing is that the title is not my original because I'm looking at a Scofield Bible. If you have a Scofield Bible this morning, the heading for this particular psalm, it says, Two Men, Two Ways, and Two Destinies. So generally, I try to come up with some kind of catchy title. And this week, I said, well, Scofield, in his notes, he kind of hit it right on the head, what I want to say. So I'm using his title. And also, the first three verses, the outline is not original with me. Many preachers have used it, so don't walk away thinking today that this is an outline that I put together, but the first three verses are outlined that if you go on the internet and look at sermons on Psalm 1, you'll see that a lot of preachers use this outline. So I just want to say those two things as we get into the Word of God today. But it says in Psalm 1, blessed is the man who walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth fruit in its season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Two men, two ways, two destinies. You know, when you think about traveling, I know sometimes I've traveled, and this was before the time of GPSs. And somebody would say, you know, they would give you certain road marks, or they would give you certain landmarks. And I remember on one occasion somebody was saying, just go down and you'll see a big cross. And when you see that cross, yeah, you can see it from miles around. And when you see that cross, you'll know how to get to the church. So, you know, I went and drove. And as I drove, I saw the cross. And I headed toward it and went by it. Next thing I know, the cross was over on this side. And so, you know, I turned around and drove toward the cross. Next thing I know, I was looking back at the cross again. And so finally, you know, I'm saying, I can see the cross. I can see the cross. And finally talking to somebody and them saying that there was a narrow one-way road that led up to the church. And I kept driving by that narrow one-way road and I was missing the cross. You see, there was a way to get to the cross. There was a way to get to the church, but I was not taking the way that led to the church. And so it is with people that everybody that I talk to, very few people, unless they are Satanists or they love the devil, very few people that you talk to don't want to go to heaven. Everybody wants to go to heaven. But many people that want to go to heaven are not going. And why are they not going? Because they're not taking the right road. The first song lets us know that there is a way to travel, and that if you travel on the right road, you'll end up at the right destiny. Jesus said that broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many there be that find it. But narrow is the gate that leads to life, and few there be that find that. And so this road that leads to heaven, this road that leads to blessings, this road that leads to the cross is a narrow one. And many people are looking for heaven. Many people are trying to get to heaven, but they keep driving by the road and missing the turn. This morning we want to talk about this blessed man, this blessed man. That this man, as I heard somebody say one time, was blessed out of his socks. And I don't know about you, but that's the life that I want to have. I want to have a life of being blessed. And you know, now, being blessed does not mean that you don't have your share of troubles. It doesn't mean that you don't have your share of trials. But we're going to talk about what it really means this morning. I read a poem last week, and several people commented on it. And I just want to read it again because it fits right in to what we're saying. And the title of the poem is, I'm drinking from my saucer. I'm drinking from my saucer. And as I read this poem, I want you to think about this man in Psalm 1, the blessed man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. Just think about this guy. I've never made a fortune, and it's probably too late now, but I don't worry about that much, because I'm happy anyhow. As I go along life's journey, this is me, this is my testimony, I'm reaping better than I sowed. I'm drinking from my saucer because my cup has overflowed. Hey, 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 hey! I don't have a lot of riches, and sometimes the going is rough. Ha! But I got a friend in Jesus, and that makes me rich enough. I thank God for his blessings and the mercy that he's bestowed. My, my, I'm drinking from my saucer because my cup has overflowed. I've been through some storms, and at times my faith grew thin. But all at once, those dark clouds broke, and the sun started shining again. So Lord, let this be my testimony. Let this be your testimony. So Lord, help me not to grumble and complain about the tough roads that I've hoed, because I'm drinking from my saucer, because my cup has overflowed. And if I should go on living, if the way gets steep and rough, I won't ask for other blessings. I'm already blessed enough. And may I never be too busy to help another bear his load. And I'll keep drinking from my saucer because my cup has overflowed. Two men, two ways, and two destinies. The one is blessed. The one has the blessings of God abiding upon him. And the other is walking an ungodly way. And it says that he's like the chaff that the wind drives away. That he's not going to stand in the judgment. And that the way, the end, is a way of destruction. Let's look at this blessed man. I just read about him. in that poem. Let's look at this blessed man. First of all, he is separated from the world. So again, the outline is not original with me. He is separated from the world. If you look at your notes, this verse presents a picturesque progression of the blessed man's lifestyle. Notice, he begins by not walking. And then he doesn't even stand. And by no way is he going to sit. Because you see, this is the way of the ungodly man, in the way of sinners, in the seat of the scornful. That's the way of the ungodly man. The righteous man doesn't even travel in that direction. But he goes in a completely opposite direction because he knows all the things that await him if he travels this road right here. He is separated from the world. That this road is the worldly road. This road is the road, if we go to the very last verse, it says that the way of the ungodly shall perish. And what that means is he will come to destruction on the road that he's traveling. How many of you know people that are traveling the road of the ungodly? You see them headed down a road, and it's a road to destruction. And it's just a matter of time before they self-destruct. And our prayer for those who walk on that road should be a prayer of one, Lord, help them to see the right way to go. The Bible says that the God of this world have blinded the eyes of those that believe not. And so they need a revelation. They need an unveiling so that they might see the right road to walk. And how our hearts must be tugged at. How our hearts must be touched. How our hearts must be burdened when we see those who are walking the way of the ungodly. It's a comfortable way. It's an easy way. Let's be honest, the road of the ungodly, watch this now, is the road of least resistance. You're not going to get any resistance on the road of the ungodly. As a matter of fact, you're going to get more encouragement. You know, the main point you're going to get encouragement one is from the devil. Oh, and I just want to let you know that my book came out this last week, 50 Ways to Resist the Devil. It's on Amazon. You can go on there and get it, but wait till we get it here. It'll be in our bookstore. But in there I give more than 50. I believe it's over 60 ways to understand Satan and his attacks and how to fight those attacks in a strategic way. But the enemy, what is his job? His job is to keep us where? On the ungodly road. But praise God for the blessed man. It says that he walketh not in the way of the ungodly. So let's look at this. Again, this verse presents a picturesque progression of the blessed man's lifestyle. From where he walks, to where he stands, to where he sits. Where are you walking? Where are you standing? Where are you sitting? First, he does not walk in the counsel of the ungodly. He does not listen to or follow advice from ungodly people. That he's not getting his advice from psychologists and talk show hosts. He's not getting his advice from some individual that has selfish motives and might be telling him or her something because of their own selfish desires. But his advice, as we want to see here in a second, comes from the law of God. Second, he does not stand in the way of sinners. He does not find his fellowship with those who are in a lifestyle of sin. I've said this from this pulpit on many occasions. I've said this. Show me your friends, I'll show you your future. Show me who you hang around with. Show me who you spend most of your time with, and I'll show you your future. There's not going to be any question about that. But the blessed man, it says that he does not stand in the way of sinners. Third, he does not sit in the seat of the scornful. His residency, where he resides, where he finds himself seated, is not among those who scoff at righteousness, not among those who ridicule what's right and what's godly. He does not hang around around those who applaud sin, who hooray when things are evil. He don't hang around those kind of people. And as a result of that, this man is blessed. He is blessed. He has peace. He has joy. He has the multiplicity of good things in his life. He's blessed in the city. He's blessed in the country. He's blessed in the church. He's blessed in the community. He's blessed in Pittsburgh. He's blessed in Ambridge County. He's blessed in Beaver County. He's blessed in Monroeville. He's blessed in Penn Hills. He's blessed in his youth. He's blessed in his middle age. And he's blessed when he's old. The blessed man. The blessings of God resides upon him. He doesn't look for his fulfillment and his satisfaction in the world. He turns from the world because the world might offer fun, but the world doesn't offer joy. The world might offer money, but it doesn't offer riches, riches that we find in Christ. The world might offer pleasures and lust, but the blessed man finds love and joy. And so we see that, first of all, he is separated from the world. You know, there's a magazine. When you look at the Greek word for world in the New Testament, the Greek word is cosmos, and it means the world and all that's in the world. There's a magazine that's called Cosmopolitan. So guess who this magazine is for? I'm not sure if you subscribe to it, I'm not telling you to get rid of your subscription. Just using it as a point in the sermon. But you know, somewhere I was reading somewhere, and the comment said that this is a magazine for people of the world. All right. So there's magazines for people of the world. So I have to ask the question, and then, you know, I don't read it. I don't know what's in it. So I'm not sure. There might be some good articles and all that. So I'm not standing here to say anything about the magazine. I'm just saying that help us make this connection, that it's a magazine for people of the world. So I have to ask, in the way that we've kind of described the world right here, these three things, I have to ask the question. Are you walking the way of the world? Earth, Wind, and Fire, they had a song, right? That's the ways of the world. That's the ways of the world. Plant a flower and you grow a pearl. But you know, they say something in that song that is very troubling and that just breaks my heart when I hear it. In that song, The Ways of the World by Earth, Wind, and Fire, you know what it says in there? A child is born with a heart of gold, but the ways of the world makes his heart grow cold. Wow. A child, a baby, an infant, is born with a heart of gold, just loving and just, you know, free willing and just a heart that's open. A child is born with a heart of gold, but the ways of the world makes his heart grow cold. What about the world? The neglect, the abuse, the anger, the bitterness, the greed, all these things begin to push in on that child. The things of the world. So I ask the question, Again, just think about your life. Don't put up your spiritual umbrella right now and say that this is for the person sitting next to me. No, this is for you. This is for you. Where do I walk? Where do I walk the most? Just think about your day. I know we got to go to work, and I know we got to go grocery shopping, but, you know, in the times that we have for ourselves, where do you walk? Where are you walking? Where are you stopping and standing at? Where are you stopping and standing? Most of all, where are you sitting? Where are you sitting? The blessed man. Some of us wonder why we're not blessed. We wonder why we're not blessed. And I'm going to talk about that word blessed a little bit later. But, you know, when you think about blessed, it means to bring something to completion. It means that you have brought something to completion and you are reaping the results of what you have brought to completion. How come God's people are not blessed? Is it because they have not separated themselves from the world? The blessed man. The second thing we see about the blessed man is that, I love this right here. Oh, I love this. I love it. I love it. I love it. I love it. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law doth he meditate day and night. This is what I call in this verse, Bethany has the three T's for membership: time, talent, and treasure. If you want to be a member of Bethany Baptist Church, there are three T's: that you give some of your time to the church, that you offer your talents to the church, and that you give a part of your treasure to the church. There's three T's in this second verse. Three powerful T's. Let's look at them. The first T is treat. What is the treat? Ha! His delight. His delight. And what does it mean to delight? Look, the Hebrew word, what does it mean? Something that's desired and valued. Something that's desired and valued. That's what that Hebrew word means, delight. It means that it's something that you desire and that you value. I would hope that most of you sitting here this morning that came, I would hope that you are here because you value and you desire the word of God. We came, we've been blessed by heavenly hands. We've been blessed by the youth serving us. We've been blessed by the prayers. All those things are a blessing. But I pray that you get blessed by the word. His delight. That's why, you know, I wouldn't go to, you know, a church where they weren't preaching the Bible. I need to go somewhere where the word of God is being preached. And, you know, sometimes people leave here. And I have no problem. You know, I don't get mad at folk when they leave. I'll be honest with you. I really don't. You know, and if somebody come, the only question I have is that, you know, where you fellowshipping at? You need to go find some place to fellowship. You need to find a good church. You need to find a church that's preaching the word of God. God, you know, the one thing I realize is that Bethany Baptist Church and Pastor Glaze, that we don't have a market or we don't have a stronghold on the word of God. Amen.
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the conclusion of Two Men, Two Ways, Two Destinies from Psalm chapter 1. If you would like to request an audio copy of today's message, Two Men, Two Ways, Two Destinies, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request Two Men, Two Ways, Two Destinies. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request Two Men, Two Ways, Two Destinies, or call us at 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Galais. Dr. Galais is the author of 8 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. Now, for Dr. Glaze and our volunteer staff, I'm your host, Sonia Hall, reminding you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.